Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mike, I just want to go back and look at it for a second. So they're playing Grambling this week. The Alabama game is at Tuscaloosa on November 4th. And they squeezed in a tough one, which Georgia State as well, before they play A&M at basically, I think Black Friday is something like that. Maybe it's Saturday, the 25th. I think Thanksgiving might be the 23rd. I could be wrong. Friday would be Black Friday. Saturday would be the 25th. I could be wrong about that. But I'm not saying that their schedule with Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Missouri, Auburn, Army, I think is easy. That's another easy game for them. How do you squeeze that one in there somehow before the Bama game? That's a joke. And then Florida, Georgia State squeezed in. They got some nice cupcakes, the three of them. That would be Army, Georgia State, and Grambling. Those are automatic. So all they have to do is get right in all the other ones. I think they'll lose to Alabama and Tuscaloosa, and that'll be two losses, and that'll be see you later.
That they'll lose that game, little revenge game off of last year for Nick Saban and the crew. But the other games, sure. I mean, no Tennessee and no Georgia in the crossover. And the tougher games they play at home. You know, Texas A&M's at home. Auburn's at home. Their toughest trip, I guess, is to Ole Miss and to Mississippi State. Like, those are their tough road games outside of the Alabama game. So you're never completely dead when you lose week one. But the way that they looked in the second half, not great at all. Let me go through a couple of these other games with you from the weekend.
I want to say one other thing, Mike, real quick. He's 3-10 against top 10 teams. That's amazing to me. He has the worst record of any coach against top 10 teams in football. That's just all there is to it. So he can blame the players all he wants. The reality is Brian doesn't win big games.
That is correct. Other games from the weekend. I thought Penix was awesome. Washington beat Boise 56-19 as advertised for him. Notre Dame had no problem whatsoever. They're going to go to Raleigh this Saturday. Michigan did exactly as we thought. They just did what they had to do and got out of there, 30-3. And East Carolina did cover that fat number up there. Yeah, it was like they kind of just went through the motions, right? I mean, there really wasn't much to it. They knew they were going to win the game. They didn't really put the foot down at all. Ohio State and Indiana.
It was like a protest for Harbaugh is what that game was. They had the whole lineup in an eye.
They were all wearing the shirts. Yeah, they were all wearing the shirts, free gym, all this stuff. Now, you briefly brought up Ohio State before. They beat Indiana 23-3. It's not how they usually beat Indiana. You know, they usually tear up Indiana. And I thought McCord wasn't that great. And if he's going to be their quarterback this year, I don't know if we're going to get some top five Ohio State-Michigan game on Thanksgiving weekend. I think they'll lose a game or two before that if that kid's going to play like that all year.
Well, first of all, they're always, always overrated. I mean, they just always are top five in the country. If they didn't have a quarterback at all and they didn't have cleats or helmets, they would still be ranked in the top five. And they did not look like a championship or top five team to me at all. And I will say this: I'm not gonna budge that all of a sudden Indiana's tough because they lost by 20. Indiana is not good. They're not good in football. They never have been. They never will be. On Saturday, when I was on with Joe Ranieri on In Game Live All Access, I said it. He is the most overrated coach I've ever seen. They sell this guy like he's some rah-rah winner and that he's, you know, a motivator and he's a fired-up guy running up and down the sidelines. His whole act, it comes with a caveat that they lose every game. He puts on a show for everybody, but he's not a good coach at all. I don't want to hear it. They never win. All they do is lose, and you're going to try to sell me that Tom Allen's a good coach? My effing ass, okay? That's all there is to it. He sucks. They suck. Start the basketball season. Give Woodson the ball. I got no time for their crappy football program. No wonder my son didn't go to school there. Gung, 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 gung.
They are at home under the lights against Indiana State on Friday night.
Well, that's an automatic win and cover.
That's a W right there for them. Alabama covered the fat number against Middle Tennessee, 56-7. Penn State beat West Virginia 38-15. This is one of those times, Scotty, where you know the coach knows the spread, and he had to make all the boosters happy. He made sure Franklin to pop that last one in at the end to get over the 20.5 for all his people there in Happy Valley, because he didn't need to score there, right? And he gave you some nonsense line about, well, you know, I got to have my second team ready if they're ever needed and all that. James, just tell it like it is. You poured it in at the end so all the boosters could cash the tickets, James. Just tell us like it is.
And the over.
And the over. That's right. That was a double whammy. Over and the Penn State cover on that touchdown in the final seconds. North Carolina beat South Carolina 31-17. I thought May looked really good for the Tar Heels. He's going to have a big year. This is Beamer afterward. Now, Beamer had a rough night, Shane, the coach of South Carolina. Nothing was really going right for him. He couldn't stop Drake May. In fact, he wasn't thrilled with the refs at halftime. He wanted to run some fake onside kick, and they was too busy doing something else. Here's Shane Beamer.
Just not good enough. I mean, we got do we have any stats? Anybody? It's kind of the story of the night. Clock was wrong the whole game. We're trying to kick an onside kick to start the second half, and we got to wait on the chain crew because they're eating a hot dog. That's the only disappointing thing about tonight. So I don't know what things came out to be statistically, but not good enough.
That is great. You got to give them credit. That's a hell of a line. The chain crew's eating hot dogs. That is awesome. But look, I was on North Carolina. I laid the 2.5, whatever it was, and they covered. That's all that matters to me. I got no feelings.
That is always all that matters. Oregon State beat San Jose State on Sunday, 42-17. That also was a late touchdown for an over. That was a great cover for the Beavers. The Oregon mascot, the Duck, did 546 push-ups in an 81-7 rout of Portland State. Did you see the clip of him laying in the back of the end zone after the last touchdown, Scotty? Your boy had enough puddles, I think they call him. He had enough at the end of that game doing all the push-ups.
I couldn't do that. I know that much. I could never do that many. But I can't do 50, let alone 581.
Never. The Mountain West has had talks with Oregon State and Washington State. I guess they have to go somewhere. Right? Oregon State, Washington State, gotta go somewhere.
Mike, honestly,
that's for sure.
Mike,
yes.
Honestly, the best teams in the country right now, the most exciting teams that had the best performances in college football, in my opinion, at least half of them come from the Pac-12.
Which makes it even more ridiculous that this had to happen.
Right.
It makes it so silly that this had to happen. It's like Mike just said to you, how dumb were these people to not take the $30 million a year for every school? They're so stupid, and now this is what we have, is no more Pac-12, pretty much. I have a few other things from college for you when we come back, including our first look at this week's lines, all the big games on Saturday. We've got the early in the week numbers for all of that when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're telling me, Mike. Anyway, the games that you were going to tell me about for this week that are enormous, I mean, honestly, I can't get enough of it. I don't even know what to do with myself that there's, you know, there's Thursday NFL, but like we just went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday with college. I'm losing weight. Like tonight, like I'm watching Taylor Fritz get his ass beat by Joker at the US Open. There's nothing else but baseball. I'm desperate.
A couple of other things, just housekeeping before we get to these games, the lines for this week. The American Conference is targeting Army to replace SMU. Good luck with that. Texas A&M wide receiver Micah Tease is suspended indefinitely after an arrest on drug charges. Never good. We'll just keep all the college football police blotter in the same realm. Georgia assistant coach Jarvis Jones arrested for speeding and reckless driving. What is the deal with the speeding with the Georgia football program? Why is this such a problem? Can we take everybody's keys away? Even the coaches, Scotty. We have to take their keys away, too, along with the kids. What's happening here?
You would think that the local popo and the campus police would have, like, some juice for the football team that keeps winning them national championships that they enjoy watching and drinking and betting on every week. But no. They keep pinching all the football players and staff. Every time they pull them over, they bust them. It really is a crazy story.
Wow. New USC athletic director Jennifer Cohen is stepping down from the slot that they had in the college football playoff committee. Utah athletic director Mark Harlan will take her place. Congratulations to Mark, as he is now in the Crack, Crab, and Lobster Club. That's right, because that's what that committee does. They get together, they all sit around the room, and they eat crack, crab, and lobster and decide the fate of the entire country of who's going to play in the college football playoff. Congrats to him being on that elite list now. Let's go to this week. I've got three sets of games for you. Some of the bigger ones as the week goes on. We'll continue to give you some of the others. The Irish have to go to Raleigh. First decent test for them this year, although obviously the Wolfpack didn't look that great in East Hartford against UConn last week. But they're laying 7.5 in Raleigh. Utah and Baylor. Nice effort by Baylor this week against Texas State. At home in Waco, as they lost outright. Never good to lose the games where you pay the team $1.5 million to come play you. Nebraska and Colorado. Colorado now favored, Scotty. This opened with Nebraska as a favorite. Everybody is betting Colorado, as you mentioned before. Purdue and gets together with Virginia Tech this week. And Ole Miss and Tulane. Interesting game with Lane Kiffin and the Rebs laying 7 here in this one on the road.
All right, just leave those games up so I can see what I'm talking about here. So, first of all, the one thing that stands out to me is Purdue. They are so embarrassing with that game against Fresno. I mean, Fresno scored every single time they touched the ball. Fresno lost their quarterback. The backup came in, and he scored every time he touched the ball. That's how bad Purdue is. And then if that game's in Boulder, I see no way of stopping Colorado's offense from killing Nebraska. They're going to score whenever they want. I thought Nebraska played really well in their opener, but I think they're playing a different beast offensively here that they got to deal with. Baylor lost to Texas State. Does that make them angry and doable as a cover in Waco against Utah? I still think Utah is better than Baylor. Even if Baylor had won, I would have been on Utah. But is the 7 viable? NC State, I thought, played solid defense against UConn. I think they're going to show up defensively in Raleigh against the Irish. I do believe Hartman is the difference in the game for Notre Dame. That hook might be the difference. I'd be very careful with that Notre Dame game with that hook in play. I could see Notre Dame winning by a touchdown and not covering the number. And then Ole Miss can score. I think they score too much for Tulane, to be honest with you. Away from it. Stay away from it.
The Wolves. I would stay away from the game as well. Next, Texas A&M visits the U. Hey, at least we got what we wanted out of the U on Friday night, right? You wanted to see them beat up on a high school team, and they did against Miami of Ohio. Now, though, they get Jimbo and Texas A&M coming to Hard Rock. This is going to be a good one right now. -4 for the Aggies, the road favorites here. Iowa and Iowa State in their yearly battle. SMU visits Oklahoma, who looked good against Arkansas State. Cincinnati visits the place the Steelers play to take on Pitt, getting 7.5. And Wisconsin goes to Wazoo, road favorites. Remember, Scotty, last year, Wazoo beat Wisconsin in Madison, which was a really big win for them. Now they play the return match.
Look, and everyone thinks that Wisconsin's so great because Luke Fickell's there and Mordecai. Fair enough. I think Washington State can beat them in Pullman. I like Pitt. I like Oklahoma big time. I don't know anything yet, a feeling about Iowa and Iowa State. I think they both have so many problems, I don't want any part of it. I will say this. I thought A&M played way better than Miami did. I told you Miami needed to win by 40 points. They won by whatever it was, 38, 39 points. I thought they looked relatively solid in their win, fair enough, against Miami of Ohio. But I'm not surprised at all, Mike, that the Aggies are favored over the Canes at Hard Rock.
I am not surprised either, that's for sure. They beat them last year in College Station, of course, but Miami really sucked last year. We'll see if it's different. All right, last set I've got for you includes the game of the week, where Texas visits Alabama Saturday night, 7 o'clock East kick. This is now 7.5 Longhorns getting here against Nick Saban and the Tide. We also have Oregon visiting Texas Tech. Nice start to the Texas Tech season, blowing a 17-0 lead in Laramie against the Cowboys and losing in overtime. UCF visits Boise State. Stanford and USC, late night, under the covers. Auburn and Cal, late night. The bailout blowout, 10:30 p.m. East kick. I love those late night games on Saturday.
I still think Cal stinks. I know they won their opener, but they play a joke. I think Auburn beats them. I think USC wins. The numbers, you know, alive right now at that type of price in a conference game. Stanford didn't look bad against Hawaii. They won. That's all that matters. Boise, is that against UCF they're playing them? UCF's going to, yes, I think, be too much for Boise. I mean, Washington destroyed them. Oregon will win. And I think Alabama beats Texas in Tuscaloosa come hell or high water. They'll win that game down there at home.
Wasn't very impressed with Texas against Rice. Like, I mean, didn't you feel like they should have, like, that's a game they got to win, like, 56-3. You know, they should have destroyed Rice in that game, and they just kind of went through the motions, did nothing.
All you have to do is say the name Texas, and you know they got a high ranking, and they never live up to it.
They never do, that's for sure. So there you go. That's some of the bigger games in college coming up this weekend. I'll give you some more as the week goes on, and we keep going. All right, after you talk to Davis, Scotty, we will start to get into the NFL. You and Gabe already talked about the big news of the day, which is that Travis Kelce hyperextended his knee at practice today. Status uncertain for Thursday night. So that's not a good scene for the Chiefs because he's everything. For the Chiefs, as we mention all the time, at least for Patrick Mahomes, he's everything.
I gotta tell you, like, this is, again, it's like beating my head against a wall, and you just keep doing it and keep doing it, and you wonder why you got a headache. I don't understand for the life of me. I just don't get it. Why they send these guys out to practice and put them through the rigors of grinding in a practice? To me, it should all be walkthroughs. It should all be star players don't play. I'm paying you millions. I want you nowhere near being injured on a practice day leading up to your season opener. Blame the Chiefs for this. You got this guy out on the field grinding and practicing for this game. He hyperextends his knee. Now we don't know. Even if he plays, he's got a knee issue. You know that. You could hyperextend that in that game in 5 seconds. Once you do it once, like an ankle, it just keeps re-snapping.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. We got to go back into this schedule. Talking about Kelce, talking about the Thursday night game with the Chiefs. This is huge. I don't care what anybody says. You send him out there, you're still working him. And, like, you heard what I said. I'm not having Mahomes and Kelce out grinding on a Tuesday for this Thursday game. It should just be real simple walkthrough stuff. Here's what we're doing. Let's attack it. I mean, how many Super Bowls do they have to win before you believe that he doesn't have to be out there going through practice grind? I mean, it's like It's almost to me like they asked for this injury to happen. Like, I don't, you know how I feel about preseason. I wouldn't let one star player even on the field once, not once, the entire preseason. They wouldn't touch the field doing anything, practice or games. You do nothing. I pay you tons of millions of dollars rollover, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you out in this meaningless nonsense and these meaningless games to get injured or meaningless practice. I feel like Allen Iverson right now.
Practice? What do you mean practice? All the time. It's a very slippery slope with these guys. You don't want them to get hurt. And I understand you got to get the team ready. You want to run through some things. But the hyperextended knee now, even if he's out there, like you say, how effective is he going to be? Now, we've seen that guy do some ridiculous stuff, so I wouldn't put anything past the Chiefs. But not having him out there is key. As of now, this has been dropping, Scotty, by the moment. I wanted to give you, I got to 6, and then it got to 5.5. So this thing's going to continue to go down right now to where 5.5 it's just stopped at, and the total's gone down to 53.
Are you with,
and a half,
are you with Morency here or not? He's on the Lions.
Before this news, I was on the Chiefs. I just was. I know their record of not covering over 3 points is abysmal the last few years, not covering big numbers, but I was going to back them. This changes my thinking a little bit just because of how Kelce is so important. I still think Mahomes will make things happen. I would probably lean now to the Lions 5.5, but I think I like the under now more, Scotty, than anything else. I was probably in on the under anyway at 54.5, down to 53 now. I think that that's where I'm going to look because Chiefs might change the game plan a little bit. Might not be as much up and down the field.
They never cover. All they do is win. They don't care about your betting prowess. Do you believe that's just all there is to it. Do you believe that he'll play anyway because he's such a badass that he's going to try to play with the hyperextended knee?
If they even crack the door a little bit for him, he will play. If they obviously sit him down and be like, listen, you're not playing in this game. It's too soon. You know, it's not like we're playing Sunday. We're playing Thursday night. That's just not enough time for you to be ready. If the game would have been Sunday or Monday, maybe. We're going to sit you this week. We're going to wait. We got to think about all year, not just Thursday.
Is this not the absurdity of this injury to me is idiocy? Like, how in God's name do you let your star player get injured 2 days before this game? How do you explain away? Now, it's one thing to talk about Jones, who's not even there. It's another thing to try to say, what in the Sam L were you thinking having some grind today? What are you doing? You're not ready for this game yet? So you got to send Travis Kelce out there to do some banging at practice? I mean, in my opinion, they deserve what they get. They deserve him to not play because they sent him out there to get injured in practice on a Tuesday before a Thursday opener. I mean, it is beyond reproach that this guy is now injured. What's next? Tomorrow, Mahomes is going to cut his hand off mowing the yard?
Look, you're now facing the possibility of perhaps them not having two of their three best players on Thursday night. You know, Mahomes is obviously their best player. We know that. But who would be the next two guys on the Chiefs that are most important to them?
Jones and Kelce.
Jones and Kelce. And there's a chance neither of them are going to play in this game. I think that that leans you towards the Lions. As much as we always say the Lions, Lion, and all that stuff, Lions are coming in healthy, and they have all their players. They're not missing two of their three best players like they're going
and
to be. As far as Chris Jones, yes, and they're very good. As far as Chris Jones goes, Scotty, of course, he's nowhere to be found. Yesterday, Andy Reid said that he can't worry about Jones anymore. He isn't here. He reiterated today that there has been no progress whatsoever. Here's the walrus for you.
Was it on your radar at all, you know, even in OTAs, that you could be entering week one without him? Did you foresee getting this far?
Listen, you're never sure how it's going to work out. You're dealing with too many people and on this type of thing, so these things can go either direction. And, you know, I don't spend a lot of time on it. I've got we've got 90 guys or had 90 guys that, in the offseason, that we need to make sure we're going in the right direction. So, you know, and then now we're getting ready to play a game. So you're either here or not here. And that's how I go about it.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm not a Chiefs fan, and I never will be. I'm one of these guys that just is sick and tired of them. And I'm not interested in watching them every week. And they're on every game on primetime, and they're in every big game. And then all they do is play title games at Arrowhead and go to the Super Bowl every year. I'm not interested in this plan whatsoever. And, you know, Carver High's a Bills guy. I'm a Steeler guy. The last thing I want is the Kansas City Chiefs having all this success. And I know how good they are. I'm not stupid. But I'll say this. I'm not crying for 1 second they got all these problems. I hope they get more. I hope they get more problems. Maybe a couple of arrests. Maybe a little domestic violence thrown in there. A sprinkle of a few ACL tears. How about some a typhoon comes through there and a monsoon? How about Burning Man hits Kansas City and they're all trapped in mud and can't get to the game on Thursday? How'd that sound for a plan?
I'd probably take anything that involves the Chiefs losing.
Thank you.
You know, maybe it doesn't have to be that extreme in some of those circumstances, but a loss will be perfectly fine with me. The other one I got for you today is the Jets. So, of course, the Jets opened their season on Monday night at home against the Buffalo Bills. There's been a lot of hype. There's been a lot of talk. You've had Hard Knocks. You've had it all. But we got one of our another cherry on top of how overhyped this Jets season is going to be yesterday from DJ Reed, of all people, one of their safeties on defense. Here's DJ, Scotty, telling you that the Jets defense could be as good as the 85 Chicago Bears.
Honestly, I think we could be historical, not just the best defense in the league, but I think we could have an historical defense like the 85-86 Bears, like the LOB in 2013. I think we could be that dominant if we put all the things together and we just focus on the now and we're deliberate and everyone plays up to their potential. I think the sky's the limit for us.
Wow.
I mean, first of all, like, you know, no offense, but I don't even know who that is. Okay. So it's one thing to hear it from, you know, I guess Salah or whether it's Rodgers or whatever, even Sauce. I could probably listen to Sauce Gardner tell me they're the 85 Bears, but some guy nobody's ever heard of, some guy no one knows, telling me you're the 85 Bears. It's laughable. The Jets have never been anything close to, nor will they ever be, the 85 Bears in any capacity whatsoever on a football field. I mean, honestly, don't get me started on their history of disaster. Don't get me started on how bad that franchise has been. And now all of a sudden you're calling yourselves the 85 Bears. I mean, son, go have a sandwich and a Gatorade and shut the F up. No one listens to you. No one even knows who you are. I don't even know who that is. He might be the greatest player in the world. I still have never heard of him. Until I've heard of you, you need to shut up.
Nat, Monday can't get here fast enough. For me, Monday
all
cannot get here fast enough.
On paper,
with the Bills. Bills minus 2.5.
I'm rooting for the Bills.
46.5 is the total. I was thinking yesterday, I think it's almost gotten to the point where anybody who's not a Jet fan, they got to be rooting for the Bills, right? They got to be tired of some of this stuff. Like, it's just been forced down everyone's throats so much.
Who is that
to
guy?
This point.
Who is he?
That's DJ Reed. He's
DJ Jazzy Jeff. I don't even know who that is.
He's one of their defensive backs. DJ right. Reed, one of their defensive right. backs. There
okay,
you go.
Thanks so much.
Good luck.
I don't even know what
Good
he was
luck,
talking about
man.
With the LOB. What was that about? I can't keep up with all
Legion.
The slang.
Legion,
of
Boom.
Legion of Boom,
Seattle
right,
with Sherman and all those guys. So that's
yeah, we know how that went in that second Super Bowl.
He should have just went for the hat trick and put the 2000 Ravens in there too. He should have went for the hat trick. Bears, Legion of Boom, Ravens 2000.
What about
he
the
just
steel
did it all. Got them all in there.
I mean,
right. I mean, why
years,
stop with the Bears?
He didn't mention them. They suck.
No, he did not. Didn't mention them at all. The 49ers opened their season in Pittsburgh on Sunday. As of now,
hold on,
you don't have Nick Bosa.
Hold a second. I'm getting receipts here. He's holding. He's taking receipts.
Mafia's
counting receipts right now in the control room. He's ready for
Mike
Monday night.
He'll hear me on Tuesday.
And he is like, I'll see you soon. Hope you had a nice Labor Day. Jets beat the Bills. This is him right now talking in my ear. Right now, I can't even do the show with this guy saying, I'm going to get even with all of you. Oh, I hate you. Oh, I hate your Steeler. Oh, and I hate Carver and his stupid Buffalo Bills. I mean, this guy, can you believe this guy?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right, and I'm like, all right, I'm looking at my bets. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then I looked, and I'm like, wow, this wild card in the National League is insane. With Arizona, Cincinnati tied, Miami a half game back, and the Giants one back, I thought to myself, I mean, this is chaos. Baseball couldn't have been happier than to have all of these teams in the final month. Here we are on the 5th, rolling into like whatever it is, 25 days, 26 days left of this type of intensity in that National League wildcard race. It's crazy.
It is crazy, and they got to be pretty happy given that a couple of the divisions in the American League are, you know, non-competitive at this point. I guess, you know, the Blue Jays are sort of hanging in it, but the American League Central, the less said about them, the better. But yeah, I mean, this National League second wild card, first wild card, we've got the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Reds, the Marlins, and the Giants. I mean, you know, the Padres, like, they still show them when you go to Baseball Reference and you look at the standings, they're still pretty optimistic. They still show the San Diego Padres, but obviously they're done. Yeah. I mean, they're not a part of this. The Padres are gaining actually only a half game up on your Pittsburgh Pirates. That's the type of season that they're having. I've wanted it to be the Reds this entire time. I mean, they're doing just enough to hang on, but I think they probably have no chance of winning the division at this point. The team that's most interesting to me is the Marlins, because were the Marlins to get to the playoffs, I actually think they would be a team that one of these really good teams would not want to play. I don't think the Dodgers or the Braves would want to play the Marlins, because the Marlins are going to be just a miserable pitching matchup in a five-game series. Like, you are going to have to go against a great pitcher every single night. And it's kind of like in hockey, where all else things being equal, a goalie who stands on his head for four games can just completely ship it. Like, a great team can just go home because they can't put the biscuit in the basket. And that's kind of the deal with the Marlins. I'm like, great. Yeah, let's go in a playoff series and then try and beat Braxton Garrett, Jesus Luzardo, Yuri Perez. I mean, even Alcantara has finally turned it around a little bit. Like, that just doesn't seem very fun to me.
Well, so on that note, I'll say this. It certainly makes that Dodger series with the Marlins starting tonight in Miami with Kershaw on the bump against Luzardo, it makes that, in my opinion, the game of the night.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you're right. Like, if it's at one, it's a potential playoff preview, so that's always kind of nice. And it is an opportunity, actually, for the Dodgers to create some distance against themselves. But I mean, if we're talking about wagers to be making tonight, we've got right about plus 118, plus 120 on the money line for Craig Scoop Mish's fish. I don't hate it. I mean, obviously, I don't ever really love betting against Clayton Kershaw. And I mean, the Miami Marlins lineup, like, we did just talk about how good the pitching is. Like, their lineup has got some gigantic holes in it. I mean, playing Joey Wendell and Gene Segura every night. Like, these guys are two of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball. But yeah, I mean, I do kind of like that price on the Marlins tonight. I mean, Luzardo has been so good. And just more, another example of the Oakland Athletics, by the way, just like everything they do right now, like 20 years ago, everything the A's did turned to gold. Now everything they do goes the exact opposite direction.
Well, let me ask you this question. Speaking of the Dodgers, because I'm on the Dodgers tonight, they score too many runs. I don't care who's pitching against them. They light them up. The only team they have problems with are the Braves. Everyone else they kill. And you bet against the Dodgers, you lose money. You bet against the Braves, you lose money. So I learned the hard way of trying to bet against those teams this year. All it does is cost me thousands. So here's the deal. Now they've lost Gonsolin to Tommy John. Now they've lost Urias to his second rung with domestic violence. My man is done. I mean, he's done pitching for the Dodgers, because what's going to happen is, this is the second, that first time, you know, Morenci said it best, he got away with it. The first time they fell for his BS, that his wife fell down, it's ridiculous. I never believed that the first time. Now he gets busted. How about this? I don't know if you knew this. It was like, he was at a park near that soccer game at 11 o'clock at night, beating on her, allegedly, and that's where they popped him, at the park. Not at home, not in his house. They got him out in the community over by the, you know, stadium where they play soccer. They like some park there. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that's where they popped him. What happens to the Dodgers? Now, I know Bueller is close, but do you have faith in Bueller stepping on a major league mound again after being out as long as he's been out and being some kind of dominant force?
I mean, I certainly would feel better about Walker Buehler coming back than, I mean, you know, like Hunter Green came back for the Reds or whatever. Like, I feel better about that. Walker Buehler is a really good Major League Baseball starting pitcher. Now, maybe it takes him a little bit of time to get up to, like, absolute full speed. And the Dodgers are always kind of careful with their starting pitchers as well. But, I mean, they do actually have some options, because they have Gavin Stone, who started some games for them earlier in the season. He also is rehabbing in the minor leagues right now. I mean, something they could do. I don't know how desperate they would have to be to do this. But do you remember Brustar Graterol? Back in the day, the idea with him was that actually he was going to become a starter. Now, I mean, he is one of their really good bullpen pitchers, but I do wonder if things got desperate enough towards the end of the season here. And obviously, Graterol would not start a playoff game, but I do wonder if they maybe try and give him like a couple four-inning starts like we've seen. I mean, a couple teams have actually done this with the relief pitchers here after the trade deadline, where they've just stretched relievers out to get through a couple injuries. I would actually be kind of intrigued by that, because any guy who throws that hard, I kind of want to see pitch. And then they have, you know, Emmett Sheehan. But by the way, I do totally think you're right. I mean, Urias is not going to pitch again for the Dodgers. I mean, I guess the Dodgers keep recruiting these idiots to be starting pitchers for them. They've got Trevor Bauer, who, you know, couldn't keep his act together and is pitching over it. He's pitching all right over in Japan right now. Not that they really miss him. I guess maybe
he's
a
predator.
I know
he's a predator. Yeah, so no team in Major League Baseball has the stones to bring that guy back, because they know he's a freak predator. I don't care what anybody says. The way that story played out with his violent sexual escapades was the end of him. Now this guy beats women not once, but twice, allegedly. My ass. He did it. He's busted. He's popped. They're going to get rid of him. They've lost Dustin May, Gonsolin. Is this the end of the Dodgers this season with all of these problems? And it can't beat the Braves.
You know, I can't say it's the end of the Dodgers. I mean, it can't be the end of the Dodgers when they're for sure making the playoffs, right? I mean, no question about that. And even if they lose all these guys, which, I mean, they have lost all these guys, they will have, for a three-man playoff rotation, they'll have Kershaw, they'll have Bobby Miller, and they will have a minimum of one of Emmett Sheehan, Lance Lynn, and Bobby Miller. Like, that's enough to get you
It'll be Lance Lynn.
Yeah, and Lance Lynn is like, look, Lance Lynn sucked for the White Sox. He's been all right as a member of the Dodgers. I mean, if I was going to work every day for the Chicago White Sox, I don't know if I'd be able to give it 110%, you know, so maybe I give him a little bit of forgiveness on that. I mean, certainly they are going to be at it. If you were to price right now Dodgers versus Braves and LCS, I would make the Braves the favorite for sure. Yeah.
I mean, the Braves beat their ass in 3 of 4 at the Ravine, and they didn't have those problems. I mean, they didn't have to face Gonsolin. He was already gone. But they faced Urias, and now he's gone, and they beat their ass either way. Let's face facts. The Braves are better than the Dodgers. That's all there is to it. Let's look at your plays
That's
tonight.
True.
You're on the D-backs run line. Why don't we start with that one? I hit that yesterday at a run and a half. They won 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a really good spot for them. So you look at Brandon Pfaadt, who is the starting pitcher tonight for the Diamondbacks, and his peripherals are all really good, right? He doesn't walk too many guys, strikes out a bunch of guys. His run prevention stuff has been horrible, though. His ERA is actually worse than Kyle Freeland. Not too many guys in Major League Baseball can say that they have an ERA worse than Kyle Freeland. I mean, Kyle Freeland is one of the worst guys on a Major League roster. He never strikes anyone out. Just gave up 7 earned runs to the Braves, got beat up by the Orioles, got beat up by the White Sox. Like, he just stinks. So he's a guy I like to target. I kind of like buying low on Brandon Pfaadt. And really, it's more just about this Rockies lineup. I mean, I know we talk a lot about how the Rockies are just sort of this joke of a franchise, but the 2023 version of them, I mean, it is like, who's good? Who's good? I mean, they got, I guess Blackman is all right. Like, Blackman is okay. 1 through 2 through 9, I mean, they just flat out stink. It's unbelievable. This is a major league team. Like, they just come out every night and they stink.
So I'm on the Orioles tonight. You're on that over 8.5. I'm on them flat out with Detmers pitching for the Angels and Coffey and Kramer going for Baltimore. I laid the 1.5.
Yep. I'm on the Orioles money line as well, but I thought the best bet from this game was over 8.5 because I do like betting Orioles and overs in Orioles games because their starting pitching is not all that great. Also, they're still figuring out their bullpen right now. I mean, the bullpen's mostly all right, but they're still sort of figuring out what order they want them in and, like, you know, they have a lockdown closer. But also, I mean, you bet the over, you get to bet against their crappy starting pitching, your Kyle Gibsons, your Dean Kramers, but you also get to just bet. I mean, they can get to an over by themselves. It's kind of like I bet the over in the Oklahoma, Northwest Arkansas State game this last weekend, and Oklahoma just got to the over by themselves. It's sort of like betting a big college football favorite over where, I mean, the Orioles can just go ahead and get you to that over all themselves.
So Houston and Texas, a pick'em. Houston clinched the season series with the win yesterday, and they lead 7-4 with 2 games remaining, and you're riding them again tonight, even against Eovaldi.
I am riding them tonight. Eovaldi is a good starting pitcher. I do not think he is as good as he's been up until this point of the season. The difference between his actual ERA and his expected ERA, his fielding independent pitching ERA, is about a half of a run. So that would indicate to me that, there's room there for that ERA to be chipped away at. And I do think, I mean, maybe this is controversial at this point, but I do think the Astros are probably the better team. I know that Texas has hung with them all year long, but it's the business end of the season. We are heading into the baseball playoffs. This is the time that the Astros, I mean, they just kind of start to work their magic. So I'm riding them heading into the playoffs.
You're on Singer tonight with that price, right, in Kansas City over the White Sox. I think the White Sox, even though Cease is pitching, I think they are clearly going through the motions.
They are of all the teams in Major League Baseball, even more so than the White, or even more so than the Royals, even more so than the Athletics, going through the motions. And I think we have backed Singer here on this program like each of his last 6 starts when I've come on. I mean, he did not pitch particularly well against the Cubs. He got a little bit unlucky against the Mariners. Not walking anyone, striking everyone out. We are going to keep buying on my dude, Singer.
You like the Cole tonight laying a 1.5 in the Bronx over Detroit and Fado?
Come on. I'm not betting on the Yankees. We know the Yankees suck. There's no that. I don't care who they're playing, dude. Play the Savannah Bananas. I am not betting on the New York Yankees, Scotty.
I like the Savannah Bananas. They're my favorite team, actually. I'll see you tomorrow, brother. You're the man. Davis Lee Rothmatic, ladies.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
Certainly is. We'll start in 1971 today. In his debut, Astros pitchers J.R. Richards strikes out 15 San Francisco Giants. In 72, 11 Israeli athletes are taken hostage and later killed by the Palestinian Black September group at the Munich Olympics. 87, John McEnroe is fined $17,500 for all his tirades at the U.S. Open. John got the bill in the mail for giving everyone the business. 1989, Chrissy Everett loses her final U.S. Open tennis match in the quarters. 90, Sampras ends Yvonne Lendl's bid for a ninth straight U.S. Open final when he beats him in the quarters in five sets. He would go on to win the U.S. Open. It was his first Grand Slam. 1994, Jerry Rice surpasses Jim Brown as the NFL's career touchdown leader. He caught two touchdowns and ran for another.
And Jerry Rice remains in the game, and I can only assume that it is George Seifert's wish to get this record behind him.
Albert Lewis is trailing him. And they're going to go his way! And he's got it! The record!
He did it!
Good call, Dan. I wouldn't have thought they would do it. But it is behind them now. What a way to break it.
There you go.
How about there it is. 1995, Cal Ripken Jr. ties Lou Gehrig's record of playing in 2,130 straight games. And 2 years ago today, Patrick Cantlay wins the PGA Tour Championship by one stroke over Jon Rahm, and he won $15 million. He's never won a major, but he did win $15 million for winning the FedEx Cup, so that's pretty good, too.
Mr. Excitement.
Oh, man. I mean, he has the personality of the wall that's behind you there. I mean, you got to talk about a guy who gives you absolutely nothing. Snooze fest with Patrick Cantlay.
I don't like it either.
That's for sure.
I don't like it.
Can't stand
either.
The dude. He'll be part of the Ryder Cup team in a couple weeks over in Rome for the United States.
I got a cup for you. NFL and college football. I don't care about that stupid Ryder Cup.